نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. The design of this world is not meant to be a pleasure resort. Things go off when our minds begin to think that it's a pleasure resort. If we don't find the pleasure, then we get distressed or depressed because the mind was not right. We came, for example, to a shop, to a mall. We had certain expectations that we'll get the better drinks, better confectionery, a better place to be shopping. But we see it as dark as a dungeon. Then what happens? Traveled 50 kilometers, reach here, everything, all our expectations are just smashed and dashed. So this world has not been designed to be a pleasure resort. We'll get some things agreeable, some things not agreeable. Then the whole trial is about learning how to manage. It's not to try somehow to make it into a pleasure. Because even if you have the pleasure, in the midst of a pleasure, if some misfortune strikes them, then can you say the misfortune not to come? You can't say it, don't come. It's got a time, it's got a place, and you're not in control. When it has to come, it will come. Yes, you have to learn how to manage, not how to convert it into a pleasure. Today there's one problem, tomorrow there's another problem, and then there's a major catastrophe, then there's a death. So now, you have to learn how to live and how to manage this. But the person that is more intelligent and more wise, he'll have to learn how to manage myself to please Allah Ta'ala, not just to please myself. One is now I learned stress management, right? But that is not a guarantee as well. We hear psychiatrist committing suicide. Or psychiatrist specialist going into atheism. So in itself is not a treatment. The treatment is manage it as per the requirement of Allah, how Allah wants it. Then you can say you win. And then if you manage it consistent and conforming to the requirement of Allah Ta'ala, then no matter what is the mental state, you still live. So don't put your mind onto the mental state. Put your mind primarily on the happiness of Allah Ta'ala. Because the state of the mind is not a sin. And what you need to see when you are moving this world, that you're not falling into wrong. As you're traveling on the road, right? And you come across a bump or a hurdle. Right? So now you manage yourself to go across the hurdle, go across the bump. So crossing the bump is that a criminal offense. It's not a criminal offense. Police won't catch you, nothing will happen. It was there and you had to manage. So this mental state is just an experience, just something that came. When it came, now learn to manage yourself and pass it. So it's not a criteria, it's not something for you to look for, it's not an impediment, it's not an obstruction on the road. The idea is what do you do under the circumstance. A lot of things will happen, things that are distasteful, unpleasant, unpalatable, a lot of things will happen. But how do you manage yourself not just managing yourself, but how you manage yourself in accordance to the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. مَا يُسْتَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا وَفِعْلًا وَعَمَلًا وَقَلْبًا. That's idea. مَا يُسْتَحْسَنُ is nice. Allah Ta'ala will like it. The word, the behavior, the mind, the action is pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. How do you do that? So that's the criteria. So, once you understood this, now this has to be then rooted into the mind. These qualities will not just come overnight. You may understand the concept, but then it takes time for you to digest it and then let it go deep into the mind. In this, then don't think, why he's doing this, and what about that person? Wait, would you? When you are running a business, are you more concerned about yourself or about how he's doing his business? You're concerned about yourself primarily. And then you've got the time to help the person. But primarily you are concerned for seeing that your business is run well. For that matter, any profession, you are doing medicine, right? So you don't worry about that doctor and this one and that one, right? You worry primarily about your practice. And I ask you, as a medical practitioner, if you're going to get consumed into his practice, what's going to happen to your business? You'll get affected. You worry about yourself. Where you are within your range to help the person, assist the person, guide the person, do it. But don't ever you neglect your practice. So Allah Ta'ala relates stories in the Quran Sharif. And the stories are for you to digest, understand, think about it from different perspectives, understand it, digest it nicely. You know, when you're small, right? So they teach you some elementary books, right? So now I think about those elementary books. So in that zamana, when you're in school, right? So the books will have stories, but the stories will have some morals, some good values. Right? A little bit exciting. But in the first instance, you won't understand what is the moral. So in the first instance, you're just going through it. You're going through it as an excitement. What happened after that? What happened? Keeps you in a little bit of suspense until you reach the end. But again, on a rethink, you know, and a replay, you say, all right, this was the lesson here, this was the lesson, that was the lesson, this is what I learned out of it. So if this is a product of man, then the lessons taught to you by Allah Ta'ala, then can there be any end to the good and the wisdom? But then the failure in this age and time is that we have failed to apply our minds. So I was explaining the pioneer boys today, you know. So today, by the blessings of Allah Ta'ala, we started Bukhari Sharif. Right? Dawud Sharif completed, and we just started. So I say, see, in any subject that you're doing, there's a gharz and a ghayat. Gharz and ghayat, what it means, ghirz, in brief, is what's the reason for you doing this? What you want out of this? So what you want is the ghirz. And ghayat is what you will get out of it. Like for example, you want to go to the top masjid, so that's the ghirz. What's the plan? The plan is you want to go to the top masjid. So that's the ghirz. Why are you traveling? You're traveling because I need to get to the top masjid. So that's the gharz. Ghayat is now you have reached the masjid. So the gharz is one, and the ghayat is another thing altogether. So now, see, for example, you want to get to the top masjid, but you're walking in the opposite direction. Will you get there? Not going to get there. So they will illustrate to you the gharz and the ghayat. Why? So that you remain focused on the cause. You mustn't shift away from the cause. So now if you're teaching hadith now, for example, then what is supposed to be the gharz, what is supposed to be the ghayat, right? So there's plentiful, a lot of things, right, you can add to it. But briefly what they say is, one is you're getting the dua of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma arham khulafai. وَمَنْ خُلَفَاوْكِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَلَتَا bless my khulafa, my khalifas, my agents. So who's the agent of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Alladhina yarwuna hadithi. Those that will relate and report my hadith. They are my khulafa. So one friend was here, and he said, but you know, I'm a jahil now, and how will I get this? How will I get this sawab? I said, but don't cry over your limitation. Allah will make a plan for you as well. The easy plan is, get this kitab of Fazail. The Fazail kitab actually are hadith kitabs. Fazail al-Sadaqat, Fazail al-A'mal, Fazail al-Durud Sharif, Fazail al-Hajj, right? You know all these kitabs. So they are replete with hadith with a deep explanation. And then now and then you speak to someone, you see the interest seems, so you make ta'lim of this every day. 2 pages, 3 pages, properly understand it with your children, wife. And nowadays I say that in my understanding from the events is unfolding now, unraveling, it's for us. First it's life for us. Now it's for us. Why I say it's for us, these books here, then Hazrat Muhammad Sahib Rahman's books, basically they were Hayat al-Muslimin, it is like for us to read it. Why? Why is it for us? Because every person is stuck to the media or secular education, right? Then I ask you, the media or the secular education, does it conscientize you of Allah Ta'ala or the Akhirat? Right? The only thing that it will tell you how to become more strong materially, right? Economic dominance, that's all. And how you come there, how you reach up there, haram, halal, bank, wherever, just get that dominance, material security. However you come, you must get there. But you must get there. So education is taking you that way. The news and the media is taking you the same way. However it happens, but you must get there. So Allah Ta'ala is out of the equation. Maybe some teachings are nowhere to be found in the news and in the education. Now, if a person is just left on that, what happens to his mind? Is his mind now corrupted or is it corrected? The mind is corrupted. They're only teaching you that, and they bring you to a point, they leave you at a point where they begin to teach you godlessness, atheism, evolution. So God doesn't prevail anywhere. Adam alayhi salam, the ulad of Adam alayhi salam, deletes it, it obliterates it from your mind. So nowhere is that. So then your mind goes in this line that everything is just a coincidence, big bang. This. So I say, you know, isn't that a for us now to correct your mind? Your mind went that if I got R1,000,000 and I give R25,000 in zakat, I'm R25,000 short, no more can I have the pride of saying I'm a millionaire. That's how this will tell you. And that will tell you that if you give, then Allah Ta'ala will double your wealth, and whatever wealth you want, He will secure it. Then this mind will tell you, but what's your proof? Where's the proof? You got 1 million, you minus 25,975,000, right? Doesn't happen, right? That's what your mind will tell you. So I have to explain the voice, see? So that ilm is of two types. Right? One is naqli and the other is called aqli. Right? One is transmission from above. Right? It's coming from the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam via Jibreel Islam from Allah Ta'ala. It's coming from Allah Ta'ala to Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and to the Ummah. That's naql. Right? Can you see the transmission? Can you see the line? Can there be any wrong there? Can there be any mistake there? No. Coming from Allah Ta'ala, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and to the Ummah, no mistake. Can anything go wrong? Nothing can go wrong. And the other ilm is called aqli. It's based on your reasoning and your understanding. So this is coming from Allah Ta'ala, and this is based on your reasoning and your experience. Can your reasoning and your experience, can it go wrong? This can it go wrong? What's coming from Allah Ta'ala, through Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to the ummah, can that be wrong? Can it go wrong? And this, can it go wrong or not? Right. And I too, this today's generation wants, you must explain, you know, expound the thing. I said, alright, now see. Number one is, I showed you the terms naqal and aqal, right? The aqal is telling you, what's wrong in sleeping with your mother? It's a woman, that's a woman. What she's got, the son has got the same. This is homemade, this is outsourced. So homemade, obviously, homemade bread is better. That's what your aqal is telling you. The naqal is telling you, hey, don't talk of such nonsensical things. Naqal is telling you, right? Can you see where the aqal is taking you and where the naqal is telling you? But now, apparently, there is no reason for you to say that this is wrong. I say, if you just look at it from the logics, right, just from the aqal, right, just from the reasoning, can you see there's any reason for this being wrong? Can you show me anything, any reason? You'll have to say, no, Allah Baqas Hukam, and therefore, we don't even want to discuss this, we don't let even this thought pass the mind. Will you entertain that thought? You won't even want to entertain that thought. So that's the power of naqal, this is aqal. Aqal say, what's wrong? Naqal say, no, Allah Baqas said that this is not right, so we're not going to go on that end. Aqal will tell you what's wrong with sewage, right? Because there's a lot of benefit in it. You know, plant benefits, you get nutrients, proteins in that, all ready made. Just have to clean it a little bit, change, just camouflage the color and the smell, and it's a perfect nutrient. Aqal will tell you that much. And naqal will tell you, hey, don't talk of such nauseating stories. And I tell you that there is nutrition in it. You look at this chicken feed, what they give there, right? I ask you, do they use feces or not? They're using feces for that. So it must have some nutrients for them to use it as a nourishment. Right? But now, your aqal is telling you that much. What is the naqal telling you? Hey, don't talk of such nauseating subjects. Only what the naqal tell you. So, without the naqal, the man can't think right. There must be a line, there must be a process for this whole man. Man is not... أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَيُّتَرَكَ سُدَى. Man thinks that he's just been left to do what he wants. No. There is someone that is guarding the whole process. Right. See, in every namaz we say Rabbil Alameen. But we think that, what do we say Rabbil Alameen? We think about it. What we are saying Rabbil Alameen is He is the nourisher, He is the cherisher from the inception right till the end. All that what you required from the childhood, from the time that you were conceived, right? Right till your adulthood, right till the end. Allah Pak took care of every need of yours. To the extent, right, that you need to be pampered when you're small, then Allah got that done also for you, being pampered. Yeah? When you're small, right, then you need to be cuddled and kissed and all that, right? And Allah got that done also. They're kissing you, they're cuddling you, my darling, my baby. Doesn't that happen? Huh? And sometimes in the process, that Allah Baqas, Rabbul Alamin, the tarbiyat of Allah, right? And the mother is cleaning the child with all the mess, but with so much of love, so much of love and so much of attention, then you hear someone saying, you know, the story is read when they're washing the child, small child now, 6 months. And as they washed him clean, he's straight exhaust piping the mother's face. And the mother doesn't take it as an insult. She takes it as an abusement. Does it happen? Now, this is a tarbiyat of what? Zalika Rabbul Alameen. See, is that manifestation of the tarbiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you're seeing in the child. Who's done it? Who's put the chip of muhabbat within the heart of the mother to cuddle that baby and give it more attention than its own self? At the night now, the child is crying. Straight away the mother gets up. The father will picture, it's all right. To the outside. Is it the truth or not? And the mother feels restless until that attention is given to the child. I ask you, who put that microchip of muhabbat into the heart of that mother? Who did? And right through every phase of your life, Then as you come up, they give you a profession. Amdani ka zariya, aapko dilwa diya. And that amdani also, that income also, with so much of respect and dignity, right? Doesn't it happen with respect, dignity? Doesn't it happen? Allah could have treated you like a dog. Go look for your food. With the whole, everyone throw your stones and all that. Go and do that. But so much of respect. So every phase of your life, and how Allah Ta'ala is doing your tarbiyat, nourishing you. Then you need something for your mental appeasement. It's given you literature, it's given so many things that your mind must be at ease. Zikr, Quran, Sharif, Tilawat. So he's taking care of the physical needs, he's taking care of the spiritual needs. Every need of yours. إِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. Can't count it. وَآتَاكُم مِّن كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ. Whatever you need, I give it to you. See that? Look at the tarbiyat of Allah Ta'ala, the rububiyat of Allah Ta'ala from a different dimension. Now we didn't look at it from there. Now when you say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Subhana Rabbil Azeem, right? When you say that, so understand what you are saying. Sometimes, maybe you can't do it all the time, but sometimes. So you are saying what you are saying there is, my Rabb is above all faults. There is no fault in His plan, in His design. Is absolutely flawless. That's me of Subhana. Flawless. And He is my Rabb. He did all this for me from the beginning until now. Can I forget Him? Person lost his father or his mother. Can he forget them? Can't forget them. You know what they did for me when I was small. What they did. How they took care of me. And how they spoiled me. I wanted ice cream and they got that thing for me. I wanted a chocolate. And you got an like Asghar. Then, before you can say that he's dead. So who spoiled the child? And who put that muhabbat into that heart of that father or that nana to spoil the child? Who did it? Who did that? Ask yourself, who did it? Allah put that muhabbat into the heart. And when He put that muhabbat in that heart, you displayed it. You would have displayed yourself. And if He's deleted it then that father or that mother will become like a burden. If Allah deleted it from your heart. And it's put into your heart. Now, you're going to give your life for it. For that mother or for the father, you're going to give your life. So that's when Allah put that into the heart. And then, such a beautiful mother. Not a mother, but look at the creator who created this muhabbat into that heart of that mother, who displayed it into the child. Did you ever think like that? So now when you say, Subhana Rabbi Allah, you think, where all this is coming from? Then if you gave you food, right? Sure, you know the dimensions. We don't think of these dimensions, really. You know, there's a ni'mat within a ni'mat. There's a blessing within a blessing. When He's created that, look at one dimension. Right? He's created taste in your mouth. Smell within your nose. Doesn't He? Yeah? So now, just look at the example of a mandarin. Yeah? Just the peel and the smell. Just the smell. Just the smell, you know, that snimmer mandarin comes here, from the road I can make it out. It's so enticing, it's so attractive. Though the season is over now, but you can get it right from the entrance, you can get it. Now who put the smell, who put that fragrance into that fruit, and the ability to enjoy it with your nose? Who put it? You know, one of the enjoyable moments of my morning, right? When I come from the top masjid, as in entering here, right? From the main entrance. The tea is so enticing, you know, the smell that I don't know what they put, Elijah or what. But it's so enticing, you sort of go inside and drink something. But who put the smell, that ability to enjoy, to smell that fragrance? Ask who, you've seen this, but that ability to enjoy that, to find that pleasure in that, who did that? That is put taste into your mouth. That you're eating it, not just filling it up. You know, a tank, you fill that thing up, no feelings, right? Yeah, it's put feelings. Although both meant to give the energy, right? Yeah, is there any feeling? No feeling. But here now, you're enjoying it, right? And not only enjoying, there's a variety of taste. Like salty, spicy, too spicy, sweet, sweeter, this dimension, that dimension. Pastry is different, and the mandarin is different, and the apple is different. Aside from that, right?
You see that the rububiyat of Allah Ta'ala. Now again, look at the fruit again, right? What he has shown you, just the fragrance. Many times, when I peel a mandarin, right, then I rub it on my hands. The smell is too good. Imagine that is supposed to be disposed, but that also Allah has got so much of beauty with it. That also has got so much of beauty with it. And then you just take the cover out, take an apple, take the peel out. Can you maintain the nourishment and the nutrients with taking out the cover? And such a thin veneer is got there, right? And that thing is protecting the whole thing. The whole thing is protected with the veneer, the thin skin, right? And that's one thing. Then again, look at the shape. Look at the apple, look at the shape, look at the beauty, right? Do you ever think about, look at the beauty, how it's shaped, huh? Then look at the shape, and then look at the color, you know, a red apple. How nice it looks. But do you ever think that Allah got something for the satisfaction of your eyes? You admire that. Something for the satisfaction, fulfillment. See the aesthetics in this thing. Right? Something for the taste. Now, who's the Rabbiya? Yeah? Did you see the Rabbiya? In all these things, don't you see Allah Ta'ala? That is why, see when you say, wal awwalu wal akhiru wal zahiru wal batin. I don't think you can find a replacement for these words. Can't find it. Zahiru ala kulli shay is apparent in everything. Everything you can see. That seed, when it started off this journey on life, right? It was totally dead, right? Now who put into the seed that you must take this type of nourishment and this type of shape, right? This type of fragrance, this type of color, right? And this size you must grow up to. Who put it within the seed? It was totally dead. Absolutely dead, right? And who did that? Kabhi socha bhi. Almost ek hi cheez sochte hai. 100 rand today, 500 rand, 1 million rand, 2 million rand. Bhai, isko choro. Rab ko socha hai. Ataakum min kulli ma sa'altum, all that needs that you had, all that dreams, right? Then, when you are tired and exhausted, he gave you sleep. Right? You're pareshan, you slept away. By the morning, everything is forgotten. Doesn't happen, you're pareshan, what's going to happen now? You're worried and all that. By the morning, everything is forgotten. New day, you're fresh again. Then, in the sleep, sometimes he gives you a beautiful dream. It's so exciting. Amen. Stop now. I was right in the midst of all the excitement, and just stop. Who does all this? ذَلِكَ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. What? This is the رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Understand. By the رَبْ کو پہچانو. سب کچھ پہچانا ہم نے. Birds کے اوپر جانے کو پہچان لیا. Tables پر جانے. یہ سب دیواغی ہے. Stupidity. But in the small little things, look at the beauty of Allah Ta'ala. The texture, the beauty, the fragrance, the enjoyment, the satisfaction. Look at Allah, he's so zahir, so evident. And then too, do you have the heart to reject him? That is why Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah says that nobody's got an excuse to reject the existence of a creator. That excuse will not be acceptable. But he's so manifest, he's so clear. وَالظَّاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنُ وَالْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرُ وَالظَّاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنُ. It's too beautiful. It's too beautiful, but sometimes think about it, and if you don't know, then ask someone. But ask someone who will explain it to you, open it up to you. And then you say, amen, this size is too much, too great. Wal awwal wal akhir wal is too great. And that is why the hadith says, amongst the things that you can use, you know, when you've got a turbulent mind, doubts and turbulence, read this, and repeat it, wal awwal wal akhir. Is too great. But do we apply these things? Do we see that the greatest faculty in your existence is your mind? And the greatest faculty should be doing the greatest work. But now, that is just thrown aside and is replaced by the AI, media, computer, right? And that thing is spewing off all type of filth.
truth and wrong messages. Someone asked the king, how many rakats in wuzu? 2 rakats. Now, that's a product of a kafir. How can it give you guidance? Can it give you guidance? The most stupid thing you're doing, you're asking that thing for guidance. Is that the right thing? And that thing has been planned, how it's planned, not to say no. So that means it's above Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, above Jibreel Alayhi Salaam, above all the malaika. When someone came and asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which is the best spot, I don't know. Jibreel Alayhi Salaam, I don't know. When Allah Ta'ala asked the malaika, Ambi'na bi isma'i, qawl la ilma lana. Malaika also, they dropped their towels. Now this AI took a position above everybody. Doesn't know how to say no. But just try and answer. Although it looked like a stupid, like a mad thing. And then we are even more stupid to go and refer to this thing here for our deen needs. A product of a kafir. Is that the right thing? When you got such a beautiful Rabb, so beautiful, so great, his qualities are so manifest, right? But you don't think that. But you go into this rubbish and corrupt your mind. I say, how will Allah take it? Allah himself says, I feel ashamed, right? Hadith comes, right? Right? But now look at the karam of Allah Ta'ala. Look at the magnificence, the generosity of Allah Ta'ala, that his slave is committing a sin and he's feeling ashamed. Can you see that? He's doing something embarrassing, and who's feeling embarrassed? Allah is feeling embarrassed. You're doing the wrong. But can you see the beauty of Allah Ta'ala, the magnificence of Allah Ta'ala, the compassion and the love of Allah? Can you see? Or you'll cry blood. If you just have a little bit of a taste of his recognition, you cry blood. It's too much, too great. So I started off today's talk with the grace of Allah Ta'ala, that don't ever think that this world is a pleasure resort. Iyaka wattana'um fa inna ibadallahi laysu bimutana'imin. Just avoid luxuries. Came your way, enjoy it. Pastry came, this thing came, that thing came, alright. But not, why wasn't that pastry made, you know, with a strawberry on the top, with the fresh cream? And the fresh cream is such a thing, even if it's 5 days in the fridge, it's still fresh cream. What I don't know what happened to Joburg, but after 5 days, it's still fresh cream. You see the dhoka of this world. People that are running the world, the dhoka, the deception. How they deceive. So there must be a reason why Nabi Sam said, Iyaka wa tana'um. Just avoid this thing here. So you understand how it works, right? I show you it's a deception and don't get caught into this. Now imagine, you did up your bedroom and your home, you did your state of the art. And instead of using timber, use gold. And instead of using anything else, use diamonds and all that, right? Best state of the art, the floor, silk and what you put in it, right? Everything, state of the art, you know. Money for Africa you got, gold, everything. Now you know, you have 2-3 days to leave. I ask you, will it be easy to give up all these things and carry on the journey? Will it be easy? You think I put so much of effort into this, so much of mehnat, the design, the architecture, the beauty, interior decorators, the gold, the silver, the diamonds I put in all this, and I made so much of effort, now I have to give up everything and move on. It's going to be an easy thing or difficult? So Nabi Sam is showing us how to make this life easy by Iyaka Muttana. Don't get into this. Came now one off, and make it a point that you tell the house people so by not to the level of luxury. Sometimes masoor, mug, whatever. But the old people, really, you appreciate them. My nani, she would say that don't get into luxury. What? Don't get into luxury. Because a child or any person gets into luxury, if he doesn't have the luxury, then he'll beg, borrow or steal or kill. Just to maintain what? Lifestyle. Not to maintain life. This whole circular is not life. Not to maintain and sustain life, but a lifestyle. So either you'll beg, borrow, steal, rob, cheat, or you'll kill. Just to maintain a lifestyle. And if that doesn't happen, if you control yourself, then you'll get into a state of distress or depression. Hey, where's the cakes? On an Eid day, must eat Kari Khichdi. Hey, where's the brains gone to? Eat Kari Khichdi on an Eid day. You know, how can it ever happen? So you start swearing yourself, you'll be depressed, you'll be distressed. But it came now, it's just about filling the tank, whether you go to Caltex Ultra Shell, or you go to Shell, or you go to BP. Same thing. Isse bhi wo fuel ka kaam ban jayega, isse bhi fuel ka kaam ho jayega. This thing also will do the work, that thing also will do. Let's carry on now. Let's eat and enjoy it. And let us pretend that it is stop speaking. So nice. Kari Khichdi. Who prepared it? You'll enjoy that thing. That moment you'll enjoy it. And not only enjoy it, but you'll be thankful to Allah Ta'ala. But now you say, now, hey, but what's wrong with this lady here? On an Eid day, she's preparing Kari Khichdi. Start swearing this one here, fighting with that one, shouting this one here. Is this the day to make Kari Khichdi? That's the fight. And the other way is to say, hey, so this morning, I think it's morning of the email. The person is complaining that alhamdulillah we've got a roof and we're eating very well. But the business taken a dive, you know. So what he's implying that, you know, our lifestyle is not maintained. Flying here, running around there, doing this, doing that. So we can't maintain the lifestyle, but alhamdulillah, decent living, eating well. And I'm really distressed. Sometimes I'm going to shout my father, why you did this, why you did this, you know. I say, your thinking is corrupt. You're supposed to be thinking like this, and you and the people living in the informal jundols and settlements are same from Adam alayhi salam. Look at their condition. If they're eating breakfast, they don't know they'll eat supper. Look at the home. It's a rain. They're afraid that the whole house will come down. It's a small fire this side. That thing will light up the whole place up. Right? They don't have a decent place, no decent food. And what do you have a heart to complain? He's also, a lot of them are reading Kalima. And many of them know the Quran Sharif better than you. Making more zikr and Quran Sharif more than you. So, do you have a heart to complain? Or you must cry with shukr? What else you do? So you understand these things, right? Understand things in deen perspective. There was one email that came. Another email that came was woman and horse riding. I said, see, you can't give one word answer to, sometimes you give a whole explanation, see? Our whole lifestyle has gone off, right? When the money came in, then now we want sports and entertainment, right? From soccer, cricket, table tennis, pairs al jamaat, all this thing, we finish all that, now we're going to go horse riding. So we don't realize we're getting into an alien culture. But all this culture has its own khasiyat, khususiyat. You go, you get into a game, then it has its own aftermaths, after effects. Now you go and look right into sports, right? You look into sports, right? Now I'll show you how it goes, right? Because you want something harder now. You're following the whole team. Liverpool, from here, next match, the players, finals, cup final, the trophy, right? Then you're buying the jerseys and all that. Right? So it takes you right to that point. Now you're supporting the team. Supporting them, running after them, looking at them, right? Right? You supported them, paid millions to see them, watch them, move around with them, get their signatures, etc. But only one month, you didn't have rental to pay. Will they take care of that? See, I supported you for so long. 5-10 billion I spent just behind you people. I supported you all so much. But just one day can you not support me? So you did so much to support them, and they couldn't do 1 cent of, 1 inch of the work to support you. So is that called love? Is that called an affinity? Is that called muhabbat? Or is it madness? So this was, to me, it was deliberately designed to move and to divert the attention of the Muslim. Right? This type of entertainment, sports, it was there to divert the attention of the Muslim. You may ask why, how? See, your attention, see, you, it's natural within man to fight, to defend, to attack, to support. Isn't it natural to support, to defend, to attack, right? So your whole attention is supposed to be moved on that line. What can I do to support Islam? Yeah? What can I do to defend Islam? What can I do to promote Islam? Right? And you're seeing it, they say, oh, Allahu Akbar. Now, you see that Liverpool, they say, Allahu Akbar. Hey. It's a disgrace, it's an insult. It's an insult, really it's an insult. They wasted their whole lives. You going to a professional match, right? Into a professional stadium, I ask you, which vice is not prevalent there? Show me one vice that doesn't take. It's full of vice, from the Alif right to the end. In fact, to say Alif wasalam is also an insult. From A to Z, the whole thing is an insult. It's an embarrassment, it's a disgrace. Of time, of human energy, values, everything is a disgrace. And then now we're running after these things here. But where it started from and where it's taking you. It's taking on to a proper Western mentality. That how we think, you must think. How we behave, you must behave. Our culture must be your culture. That's what it's taking you in. And you don't realize that you are being soaked into this thing here. Gradually, gracefully, you are soaked into it. And then when you're right in the center, then you realize, hey, now, how must I get out of it? What have I got? And how must I get out of this thing here? See this thing here, this tissue. Where your mind is supposed to be, kunu ansar Allahi, be the supporters of Allah Ta'ala. So now you're the supporter of Allah Ta'ala or the supporter of all this rubbish. What Allah is saying, kunu ansar Allah. He's addressing them, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu kunu ansar Allah. Support the Islam. Support this. So your mind is supposed to be there. And when something is an achievement, you are rejoicing. Rejoicing at the triumph of Islam. So is that your mind there in that? So many jamaats came out, mashallah. Hey, but I didn't join that. Hey, all of them went. Sab madine ko gaye, hum reh gaye. That's where your mind is supposed to be supported, encouraged, take it out, do something at least for it. Otherwise, your position will be like how the whole jamaat was going, you know. So now, in a jamaat, you have to distribute the work, right? So they're distributing the work. All right, you'll do the shopping. You light the fire. You will get the firewood, right? You will see the pot, right? You will do the cleaning. You will slice the tomatoes and do the preparation. You know, I'm so tired, I'm so exhausted that, you know, I'm wondering how I'm awake, you know. I'm so tired. Right. So they say, well, you stay there for the fire and just look at the pot. I'm telling you, man. You know, if I was just well, you think I would have allowed you to do any work? I would have done everything. All right, now they did everything. They prepared the food, everything was ready now, and they're dishing it out. I said, now at least do something, at least come and eat. So I'm feeling so ashamed that I can't join you for anything. At least I'll join you for the meals. That's our position. We're laughing, but that's our position. We don't want to do a stitch of work for Islam. How can I support Islam? In any way, you don't have to be a wealthy person to support the cause. Even if it is right, you're seeing something in the masjid and the vicinity of the masjid, how to maintain the sanctity of Allah Ta'ala, His house. I say it repeatedly nowadays, maintain, respect the sanctity of the house of Allah Ta'ala. House of Allah Ta'ala, one is the masjid, wherever the Quran Sharif recited, the name of Allah Ta'ala, the name of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is taken. Right? Zikr is taken place, right? Understand me, yeah? Right. Maintain the sanctity. See how you're going to keep the respect. The hadith comes, a black woman should be cleaning the masjid. Right. Clean the masjid. So she must have passed away at night. So quietly the Sahaba Kiram did all, whatever, the dafan, kafan, everything. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted to know Where's this woman? So, you know, she passed away at night. Why didn't you get me up? And the Nabi said, went at a grave, made dua himself. In honor of what she was doing, perhaps. What she was doing, in honor. In the salati lahum nurun, my prayer, my dua, is a nur for them. But Nabi acknowledged this. So we can make a noise. How do we make it work? It's the sanctity of the house of Allah Ta'ala. How do we maintain the sanctity? What do we do? Without trouble, without fighting, without arguing, but do something to maintain the sanctity, the respect of the ambience, the whole masjid, and outside the masjid, no noise, quiet, calm, silence, right? How can we do it? That is supporting. That is supporting Allah Ta'ala, supporting His deen. Jamaat is going now. How do I support this thing here? I can't do much of making dua for them. Alright, I can't do much. Alright, you know, the others will give a problem meal. Let me give them at least a breakfast. I'll support it somehow. You must have a share in that deen. The right thing is to join them. 3 days, 5 days, 10 days, whatever. Right. You can't do that, at least join them for the ghusl. You can't do that also, then join them for the talim. Although, I am a criminal myself, right? But it doesn't mean that I am a criminal, so I mustn't encourage it. Support that thing. And I'm saying to you that, to me, the talim is further in now. Because that mind is being totally distorted. Away from Allah Ta'ala, away from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, into these stupid people, to cricket, soccer, badminton, all these things here, right? Your mind is going there. So, isn't it for us now to tune your mind to the right channels? Isn't it? Otherwise, you have a child and he's watching all wrong things, stupid things. Small little child, looking cartoons, all that. And the mind is going off. Everybody likes all the excitement. Who doesn't like that excitement? But what happens to that mind after that? And then to readjust that mind, is it a simple thing? The mind went on to that. Now to adjust it and bring it right, is it a small thing? So, our minds went off, only make the money. And then the business are such also, from eight to late, you must work. By the time you reach home, you're exhausted, you can't do anything else. So the business are designed wrongly, that you must work from eight to late, exhausted, now you can't do anything, only good for eating and sleeping. But you must come home at a time that you can rest nicely, then have some quality time with your children, talim, zikr, Quran Sharif, some dua, you tuning the time, their minds into the right direction. Otherwise, the students say, my work, father's work is always to make money, so my work is always to make money. So look after the house, the deen standards, the right values, that's not my work. See, that's our thing. And what the Quran Sharif is saying, kunu ansar Allah. Help Allah Ta'ala's deen. How you can help it? And every person according to his capacity, his aptitude, how much he can manage, do it, right? Do so much, do it today. Aptitudes, capacities are different. According to your capacity, do it. Nobody is asking you to shift mountains, but according to your capacity, you can do something. A bicycle must understand that it's a bicycle, right? Now that bicycle was to carry 100 bricks. Would it be right? Won't move or it will damage it, right? A Corolla, you would have put 5,000 bricks into it. What are you going to do? You know, damage that. It's not supposed. 100 bricks already can manage. But 5,000 bricks onto a Corolla? Can't. Right? A horse and trailer, now that thing is meant to carry 10,000 bricks, 20,000 bricks to carry. So this thing according to its capacity, the motor car according to its capacity, the bicycle according to its capacity. So someone's capacity is a bicycle, he must move accordingly. His capacity is a Corolla, he must move. Allah Ta'ala will reward everybody. But provided you did according to your capacity, well, the Jamal should say this, right? Man has got 10,000 rand, right? Give 1,000 rand. And a person has got 10 million rand, give 1 million rand. Both sawab is identical. Proportionate wise, the same. What sacrifice he made also. The figures may be less, but Allah is not looking at this, he's looking at your heart. Proportion. You have 10,000, he gave 1. At 10 million, he gave 1 million. So the sawab is the same. So what you can do within your capacity, do that much. That's why I say, some of us at least try and maintain the sanctity of the masjid. But I say, do everything. Don't fight, don't argue, don't shout, don't hit, don't become violent, don't become aggressive. You try to rectify one and you'll create another 10 problems. How you can think now, how you're going to do it, right? Sometimes you can talk to the imam, sometimes you can talk to someone, but maintain the sanctity.
are you going to maintain? Understand how you're going to do it. It takes time. It takes energy. It takes some type of effort to do it. To get it done. Then that person is coming to the masjid. He feels so pleasant. MashaAllah. I see a masjid. I see the house of Allah. Allah. I want to pick up a Quran and recite. I want to make some zikr. I see that person is crying in his dua. And I want to cry also. But then you see the ambience of the masjid. رِجَالُ لَا تُلْهِيمْ تِجَارَةً فِي بُيُوتٍ أَذِينَ اللَّهُ أَنْ تُرْفَعَ وَيُسْكَرَ فِي أَسْمُ يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ فِيهَا بِالْغُدُوِ وَالْآصَالِ. You're seeing that masjid is now fully functional. It's flourishing. It mustn't be مَسَاجِدُمْ عَامِرَةٌ وَيَّ خَرَابٍ. It mustn't be like that. It must be عَامِرَةٌ ظَاهِرَةً وَبَاطِنَةً. It must be flourishing both ways, outwardly and within. Somebody is crying, someone making zikr, someone making dua, someone is signing Quran Sharif, someone is making talim. But what a beautiful environment to be. So we don't go into the negative, hey, you can't go here. How to make it work? Because see now things are collapsing. Yeah? Your father's house is collapsing. It's literally going to finish. You do that. It's burned, literally burned. It's your father's house. Then you've got a respect for it, for your father, for the inmate of the house. Let's see how we can make it work. To shout and fight is easy, but to make it work, when it was collapsing and falling, how pleased would Allah be? Your father, if he hears, my house was burning, it was collapsing, this child came and picked it up, brought it up to his normal, he made it better than what it was. How pleased will he be? Do you see it from that perspective? So to make things work, when it's collapsing, and to make it work. That is why the reward of that person who learns to liyuhya bihil Islam, to revive, bring it up, according to his capacity, how much you can do. It doesn't mean that you can't give a beautiful, dynamic bayan, you mustn't do anything. Do something, it's an istimar, do something. You saw some brother loitering around, call them, alright, this istimar is a bayan going on. But nicely, without fighting, without debating, you bought them a cold drink, alright, come. Can you do that much? Or then some tea, come inside. That person that is the worst person, some ikram and some kindness, but his heart just waters down. Hey, this people has been so kind to me. Took me to the tuck shop and he bought samosas. Samosas he bought with a cup of tea. On a cold day, or a cold drink, or a juice with samosas. And one samosa is about how much? 5 rand. He bought 4 samosas, 20 rands, and plus a cup of juice. How can I turn him down? You can make it work, right? We all are business people, right? And the business, what he does? He makes a plan. I need to sell this product. How must I advertise that thing? So your mind must be 90% in reviving Islam, 10% in your business. Not 90% in the business and 10% of your spare time now, you know, time, the kachara time, put it for Islam. Kachara time, be for your business. The prime time, kunu ansar Allah, be the helpers of Allah. What can I do? When I see things are collapsing, failing, falling apart, what can I do to bring it up? Each one according to his capacity. Within your house you can do it. Outside the house you can do it. Small little children, I say, a simple way to start it off, one sunnah in the week. So you taught the child, say Bismillah. Anything, you're starting off Bismillah, Alhamdulillah at the end. Starting with the right, and then you're coming with the right for good things, and leaving with the left. So can't we just instill this thing here? Or don't have hasad, don't make ghibat. The whole week we'll talk about this. But can't we just revive Islam within our own homes? That child will go to school or the madrasa and say, you know, my father says, mustn't make ghibat. There's a lot of guna for that. Won't he be passing that? Kunu ansar Allah. Understand how we can become the ones that will support the cause of Islam, the support of deen. How can we do it? So if everybody applies his mind, then the better thing after that is, make some mashwara. People that are experienced, knowledgeable, understanding, how can you support it? Otherwise, you don't have that. You say, no, put up a pedal court in the masjid yard. People come there and play pedal. See how your mind can go off. Now, at least keep them occupied. They disrupting the whole activity of the masjid and you put it there. They're disrupting in your near bedroom, you put up a pedal court. Because you know, that's going to go to about 12 o'clock at night. You're going to sleep, it's going to disrupt the whole thing. Will you do that? So then Allah Pak's house, how can you disrupt the ambience, the sanctity of that place? Now think how you're going to do it. Someone can talk, someone makes some ikram, took him home, paid something, bought something for him. showed him some respect. You just, the person's heart just melts and he wants to do something. Can't we apply our minds?